Welcome back to the Hardline. Enter at your own risk.
Another good tune by you, Lukey. Another good tune by you. Hopefully we didn't scare away Dan O'Neill, because I know this is pretty hardcore, and I know he likes pop music, so hopefully he's still on the line. This is the Hardline, Cam Jansen. I'm actually by myself right now. Tim Woodward had to step out, and John Hadley showed up for 2 seconds, and then he left.
Well, I'm with you.
But good thing Dan O'Neill's here, a longtime writer for the Sports Post-Dispatch, St. Louis Post-Dispatch, that is. Wrote a couple books. I gave a lot away for Christmas gifts, Danny O'Neill, and I appreciate that. That was a lovely book that you wrote. What's going on with you, buddy?
Well, it was the number one Christmas gift to give away, wasn't it?
It's the gift that keeps on giving, Danny.
Yeah. No, I'm good, Cam, out here at Belle Reve, obviously, and enjoying the spectacle. It's really really something. I mean, I've covered all these things at Belle Reve over the years, and this what they've built out here structure-wise and everything, and the crowds are just off the charts. Plus, yesterday I saw Bobby Plager and Keith Kachuk here yesterday, so my week's complete.
Were you surprised I wasn't with that group, with Al McCanus, Vladimir Tarasenko?
No, not really. Honestly, I really wasn't surprised.
Okay. So it's pretty cool, though. I know you've been out there. I appreciate you coming on, man, and I've known you for a long, long time. What's the vibe out there? I mean, is this are the players looking at the crowds here in St. Louis and kind of turning their heads around like, damn, there's a lot of golf fans in St. Louis. Is that what they're thinking, or is this normal?
Oh, absolutely. They've commented on beginning with Monday. Well, when usually on a Monday you don't see a ton of people at a golf tournament, even a major on a Monday. It's pretty sparse, but they had big crowds out here on Monday, and they've just gotten bigger. Now that they're actually playing, the crowds are huge here today. I'm sure they'll be even bigger over the weekend. And a few players have come in and commented. Ricky Fowler was in here just a little while ago. He shot a 65, and he's leading after the first or during the first day. And he commented on, he's a big Cardinals fan, so. He commented on they don't usually see crowds this big. I guarantee you this will set records for both merchandise sales and attendance.
Well, it's great for St. Louis one way or the other. I guess the first question I want to ask you, dude, is, you got Tiger Woods coming on. I think he started, 7 o'clock, whatever the case is. They teed off really, really early. He struggled off the bat, Danny. He struggled off the bat. And I don't know if it was hole 15 where he put himself in a jam, kind of got himself out of it, then he stuck it and finally made par. Give me the rundown on how T. Woods did it first day here.
Well, I mean, he actually, Tiger got a couple of birdies coming in and finished with a 70. So, that's 5 strokes off the lead, but he's certainly right in the golf tournament. He did get off to not the best of starts, but played pretty well, actually. His whole group, McIlroy, also had some ups and downs, but he wound up with a 70. And Justin Thomas, I don't have it right in front of me, but he also shot, I think he had a 69, don't quote me. But anyway, all 3 of those guys are still in the mix. They didn't go real low, but they shot even par, and if you can shoot a par and in the first round of a major championship, you're okay with that.
How does Tiger have to change his game and to keep up with these young kids, man? I mean, this is like the deepest field of all the majors. He had a poor performance at Firestone. He needed to work out some issues, including accuracy off the tee, putting, this and that. Also he had a short prep time here. He didn't get much practice in, so you kind of have to how much practice does he need? Or is he going to tear his back up if he practices more? So what does he need to do to keep in pace with these young kids?
The reality of it is Tiger's 42 years old, and he's had 4 back surgeries. So the things he needs, it's more about what can he do than what he needs to do, because he's limited in what he can do. So he used to run a lot. He doesn't run anymore. He used to practice more than he does. He doesn't quite practice as much. Because what he's been able to do is just mind-boggling that he's even out here, after It wasn't very long ago he was talking about he didn't know if he'd ever play golf again. He couldn't even get out of bed. So what he's done to this point is pretty remarkable. You know, he's been able to get in contention a few times. He was in contention at the British Open. And it's pretty remarkable. I think, you know, even before he hurt his back, the driver has always been inconsistent for Tiger. When he has to hit a lot of drivers, that's been an issue for him. And if the rest of his game's on, he's able to overcome that. He's got to hit driver here, especially with as soft as the golf course is after all the rain. So I didn't look at his driving stats, but I would say, you know, if you're looking at where Tiger's weaknesses are, it certainly starts with the driver. But, you know, he's played pretty well, Cam. I mean, when you consider where he's coming from, he's been right there a few times, including the last major. And he shot a 70 today. He didn't look real comfortable at times.
No, he didn't.
Out on the course today. But he wound up with a 70. So, you know, he comes back tomorrow. He shoots a 68 or a 65 tomorrow. And, you know, he's right in the middle of it. So he's in good shape. But so are a lot of players, you know. Like you said, it's a great field. The competition and the margin for error is really small. When you have a guy go out and shoot 65, that kind of sets a pretty high bar. So at this point, you can't win the tournament on Thursday, but you can lose it. You know, you can shoot yourself out of it. So Tiger certainly hasn't shot himself out of it. He's still very much in the tournament.
What do you think of these super groups that they're kind of putting together? You know, they had Woods, they had McIlroy, they had Justin Thomas, they had Molinari, Reed, Koepka, Spieth, Ram, and Justin Rose all in a group. Does this help? I guess for me, playing with better players, it elevates your game. I mean, I guess. But at this point, everybody's great. So what do you think of these super groups, and especially putting a super group in the morning and there's no TV coverage? I don't know. Does that make sense to you? What do you think about these super groups?
Well, first of all, you are always playing with better players, so that's...
Oh, really, I knew that was coming, damn it. On the ice, too, and you know that.
You know I'm kidding. You know I'm kidding.
No, you're not. No, you're not, Danny.
Yeah, I am. I was one of your biggest fans, buddy.
I know you were.
I think they're great. They're great for the fans, and that's what it's about. I mean, these guys don't mind. Look, nobody wants to... If you turn the microphone off or something, I doubt that anybody out here really wants to play with Tiger because of the circus that goes mm-hmm. on around him. I mean, it's just people are making noise, people are moving, camera, you know, shutters are clicking in the middle of your backswing, things like that. I mean, that's just what goes on with Tiger. It's gone on with Tiger since he was a phenom as a kid, as an amateur, since he broke all the records at Augusta in 1997. And it's never subsided. Even though he hasn't played much in the last couple of years, the galleries that follow him are the biggest by far on the golf course. So I don't think if they were honest, anybody would prefer to play with him. But they realize also that, you know, playing with better players can be a good thing. I mean, you know, there is such a thing as momentum, and when you're playing with somebody who's playing really well, it can sort of rub off on you. I've heard guys say that many times. So when you have a super group like McIlroy and Tiger and Justin Thomas, as they did today, it's kind of a challenge for all those guys. It's good to play with, you know, the guys who are top-ranked players in the world. It certainly gives you an idea where you're at and whether you're going to be able to compete. And at the same time, I mean, it's great for the fans. They love it. They got three of the best players all in one group. You know, because it's one of the hard things in golf is you come to a championship like this and it's, you know, who do I follow, you know? What should I do? Should I park in one place and try to see three or four parts of three or four holes from one viewing place? Or should I try and follow a few, one or two guys? And when you got two or three top stars in one group, that makes the decision a little bit easier.
Yeah. So what do you think? I mean, okay, how's this? What makes Belle Reve unique? I mean, there's so many beautiful courses in this town, and we're kind of going to, I was going to ask you a question later on what your favorite course is or what you think the most prestigious course is, but what makes Belle Reve in itself unique, dude?
Well, I mean, you know, it was designed by one of the, you know, the great iconic golf course designers, Robert Trent Jones. And, you know, if you know Trent Jones courses, it's kind of a classic kind of course that he would design back in late 50s, early 60s, which is, you know, tree line, big, enormous greens, dog legs, excuse me. And you know, that's Belle Reve is all of those things underlined. So I think that's what makes it special. You know, it's just a very lush, tough golf, you know, certainly for you and me, very tough golf course. For these guys, I'm not sure it's all that tough, except that when they have a championship like this, they grow the rough real high. And so if you don't hit the fairway, then you're in trouble. It's not easy to play out of the rough here. But, you know, it's just in that, it falls into that category of Trent Jones courses that are revered and are classic in golf history. And so Belle Reve's right there with any of those courses that Trent Jones did.
Hey, Dan, this is Tim Woodburn. A couple questions for you that I'm a big golf fan, but that I don't understand. There's only two par fives on this course. I guess there's four par fives for the members and for the people that play out there, but the PGA Tour determined that two of them would be only par fours under PGA Championship standards. What factors go into that? Why did they do that with two of the par fives out there?
Well, you know, while it seems like this is a really long course, and I mean, it's not for these guys. So certainly distance is a factor. And they want to make the course as difficult as possible. So obviously a par 70 course is more difficult than a par 72. But you know, a couple of the par fives, they changed to par fours because they feel like they're too easy to reach and too easy to birdie and capable of giving up two easy eagles. So that goes into their thinking. They, you know, generally they just want the course to play as difficult as possible. And the par fives they do keep are those that they feel, you know, they can still be reached perhaps in two shots, but it takes two great shots to reach those par fives, whereas the par fives they usually convert, before they convert them, they feel like it's too easy to reach the green with two shots. So they change them into par fours and make the golf course a par 70, which is, it's become kind of the norm at these championships. I mean, when they had the BMW here in 08, it was a par 71. So that's one thing that's a little bit different. They've converted a couple of the par fives, whereas in the past there are three par fives at these things.
One other odd question that has occurred to me. When I see some of the overhead shots of this tournament, watching the TV coverage on TNT and even looking at the course on the PGA.com website, one of the things that stuck out to me, and maybe I just missed this and I saw it because it's in St. Louis and it stuck out more to me because I'm a St. Louisan, and I couldn't believe how many houses are as close to this course as there are people with in-ground pools in their backyards, and they're like 30 yards out of bounds. Is that common with a lot of major championships where there's courses embedded literally in the middle of neighborhoods like that, or is that rare?
No, it's not. It's not rare. It's fairly common.
Okay.
You know, depending on the age of the golf course. Now, you know, Tarasenko's house isn't always on the golf course, but it is here, I think.
Really?
No, but, you know, yeah, Vladdy, I think, lives out here.
All right.
Correct? Cam? Yeah. But anyway.
Yeah, I believe he does.
I think Al lives here, too, or he's at least a member.
Ben Bishop. There's a lot of hockey guys that are members out there, for sure.
Yeah.
except for me.
Well, they get those small, say, small paychecks, and they're able to join these public courses. But yeah, no, you know, this is this course opened in what, 1959, I think, or 60.
Right.
And, you know, at that time, yeah, they if you go to these kind of golf courses, Medina or somewhere like that, in Medina in Chicago, they used to be built in sort of residential or neighborhood kind of situations.
Right. I just, you know, obviously it's not the case at the Masters, and I watched the British Open. I just don't normally see houses on the golf course at majors, and it stuck out to me how many there are and how close proximity they are to the actual course itself, where literally people could stand on their back deck and watch it.
Oh,
and
how nice is that?
Well, you know, if you can get through the foliage that usually aligns the out of bounds from in play, but it just struck me as cool and odd at the same time.
Well, let me touch up on that then, Danny. What if I'm over at Vladdy's house and it's right on the course, and I got a bunch of people over there, and we're jamming out the music and causing a ruckus. Are they going to come by and be like, "Hey, you guys need to tone it down because we're playing golf over here"? And I say no, because this is my house and I'm listening to heavy metal.
Well, I mean, they won't bother Vladdy, but they would definitely come and get you.
I figured,
no question about it.
Who's
the other thing about it is you'd have an easier time getting to that house through the golf course than you would driving.
Oh, you're stuck. It's like you've been flooded in.
Here. Yeah.
No,
everything's blocked off, and you can. I'm sure the residents aren't exactly thrilled.
No way.
With the championship. Although some of them are probably renting their houses out. And
I was thinking that
some pretty good coin. So
no doubt. I was thinking
thing. I don't know about the rocking out on your.
Well, look, that's why I live in Eureka, Danny. You know that I could do it in Eureka.
Yeah, it's okay in Eureka.
It's okay in Eureka.
Absolutely. Acceptable in Eureka.
Who's your pick to win this tournament? Oh, actually, you know, forget that. Who are you rooting for in this tourney?
Cam, I'm a member of the press. I don't root.
Yes, you do. Come on.
No, I don't. I rooted for you.
You're still a member of the press when you rooted for me.
That was the only exception I ever made, was to root for you.
Well, because I'm a hometown boy, but what about Michael Block?
Well, you're a hometown guy, and I just sort of felt like you needed the support.
Okay.
But
well, my parents didn't give me enough support. Is that what you're trying to say? Okay, then fine. Let me rephrase the question. If you had to throw some coin down, who are you throwing it down on besides
that? Well, the guy who I liked coming in was McIlroy. And he shot a 7. He didn't exactly burn it up today. But, you know, the thing is with the golf course as soft as it is, and with the dog legs here, there's quite a few. The guys who can hit it really high and really far are a good bet. Because the ball, you know, it's not like you're going to hit a low shot out there and it's going to bounce and roll very far. It's basically going to hit the fairway and stay there. So I liked McIlroy and anybody who has that kind of ball flight. But McIlroy, there's a lot of right-to-left play here. McIlroy hits it right to left. He's won under these kind of circumstances before. It's very similar to when he won the PGA at Valhalla and when he won the U.S. Open at Congressional. Congressional is a very similar kind of golf course. It rained that week. It was really wet. And nobody hits the driver. If he's on, nobody hits the driver better than McIlroy. So he was my pick. He's gotten off to just an okay start, but I still like him. But like I said, you know, the guys, I don't know that at this point, because it's so wet, that it especially favors any particular player. But certainly if you can hit the ball high and far, you can cut the corner on some of these dog legs, and that could be advantageous.
Real quick, Danny, before we let you go, I got one last question for you. And my dad bugged me.
I don't have any passes.
No,
I don't have any parking passes.
I'm not asking for any favors, because I'm going to need favors from you later on down the road, and it's not going to be for anything that has to do with golf. But before I'm leaving my house, you know, my dad's next door, and he's like, make sure you – I told him I was having you on. And he's like, make sure you call him the bogeyman. I go, what? He goes, call him the bogeyman. I go, get out of here, Dad. God, what the hell are you talking about? What is he talking about there? Are you the bogeyman?
Well, I am the bogeyman. It's not by design, by choice, but I have sort of become the bogeyman. It doesn't It doesn't really associate with my golf game because I would be like the triple bogey man.
the birdie man?
No, I used to do a column. I used to do a golf column for the Post-Dispatch.
So he was right.
The bogey man.
He was right
yeah,
on that.
Yeah, no, he was, yeah.
Ah, he loves you, man.
Knows,
you know that.
See, he knows. He knows, yeah.
He knows a lot of things.
The people who call me the bogeyman have a special place in my heart.
Oh, well, isn't that cute? I'm going to tell my dad you said hello. He is listening right now, so that's cute.
Right next to the pistol in my pocket here.
Exactly.
I shouldn't say that. They'll come and get me.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You got to remember where you're at right now. Hey, dude, go enjoy yourself. Thanks for taking the time, my man. And anything you want to pump up? You still got that that book for sale?
Oh, we still got the book going, yeah.
How do people get
into it? Try to pump it up a little.
Once
hockey kicks up.
How do you find it?
Well, it's everywhere. It's called When the Blues Go Marching In. It's the 50-year history of the team.
Great book.
Really nice coffee table kind of book. Lots of big pictures, including one of Cam Jansen.
Yeah, you found a way to sneak me in there, didn't you, Danny?
I got you in there. Yeah,
you did. And, I love it.
Yeah, but it's at fine bookstores everywhere.
It's awesome, and it's great. Again, it's a gift that keeps on giving, Danny O'Neill. Hey, man,
That's what I hear.
Go enjoy yourself, and maybe we'll touch up this weekend. Let me know how everything's going, and I appreciate you coming on, buddy.
Hey, sounds great. Anytime, 55.
Right on, dude. That is Danny O'Neill. Long time. Sports writer for the Post-Dispatch, friend of mine, and also I'm a friend of his son as well, who's a lot cooler than he is. So pretty cool stuff, man. Very interesting. And, yeah, he is the bogeyman, no doubt about it. He knows his stuff, and he knows his golf, and it's good to hear from him. What do you got over there, Timmy?
PGA Championship update time brought to you by Triad Bank on Clayton Road in Frontenac. The 100th PGA Championship teed off at Belrive Country Club in St. Louis this morning under clear skies. And the forecast is nothing but sunshine throughout the day on the par 77,316-yard course. Two par fours over 500 yards long. The eighth hole, a monstrous 610-yard par five. But the scoring is way down, and here is the leaderboard. Ricky Fowler is in the clubhouse at 5-under. He has a 2-stroke lead after shooting a 65 today. 7 golfers are 2 strokes back, all in the clubhouse at 3-under, including Austin Cook, Ian Poulter, Pat Perez, Jason Day, Brian Gray, and Stuart Sink, and Ollie Schneiderhans. There are 34 total golfers either in the golf course, either on the golf course or in the clubhouse under par. 34 golfers under par. Another 32 are in the clubhouse or on the course right now at even par. The record low for a major tournament is minus 20. That's shared by Jason Day and Henrik Stenson. And if the weather holds out and the soft conditions and slow greens continue, we could possibly approach that at the PGA Championship in St. Louis this weekend. Television coverage right now on TNT until 7 o'clock, and it continues tomorrow as well with the golfers teeing off at 6:30 a.m. PGA Championship update brought to you by Triad Bank, a locally owned St. Louis company and always has been. Since 2005, Triad Bank has serviced the community and commercial loan generation to make St. Louis a better place for everyone. Triad Bank and golf have similar objectives. In golf, you take one shot, one hole, and one round at a time. And Triad, your business will feel like it's getting that important personal attention it needs to reach your goals as well. Triad Bank is not trying to be the bank that has something for everyone. Triad is about commercial loans for land acquisition and development, investment, real estate, and construction financing. Triad also takes care of business checking accounts and provides that personal service you expect. The relationship between Triad as your business caddy and your business as the golfer is the relationship that forms a winning team. Triad Bank, located at 10375 Clayton Road in Frontenac, or check them out online, triadbanking.com.
Right on, Woody. And before we go, let me really touch up on this. 5-9 The Fan is proud to sponsor the Gateway PGA Reach, led by President Ozzie Smith. And by inspiring and directing the resources of the golfing community, they will positively impact at-risk individuals with particular emphasis on youth. See what they are all about online at gatewaypgareach.org. Check it out. We got a last segment coming up in about 5 minutes. This is 5-9 The Fan and 5-9TheFan.com.